translation today? Are we okay?
I have a lot more freedom to talk as I please. So if we don't have any translation, I can speak a little bit differently. Just a coincidence that today we are in. Oh, children. Children, if there are any big children that need to be dismissed to children's church, you can now be dismissed. Okay? And if you want to stay in here, you're welcome to as well. All right? Thanks, guys. Let's pray for our children. Heavenly Father, we do pray for our kids that as they go to a time together with teachers that they may see you and they may learn from you here at CBIBC, that they will delight themselves in the Lord. Grant that our children will grow up to turn their face toward you and not their backs. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Just a coincidence that we're in the book of Mark today, right before Chinese New Year, and when many of you are going to be spending time with family. Just a coincidence, not really a coincidence, but sometimes this happens when you're preaching through a book of the Bible that you just happen to get to a particular topic on an opportune day. So I didn't plan to talk about family today. I just plan to go through the book of Mark, and today is about family, right as many of you are leaving, and I think God has been gracious enough to help us in that way today. I do want to point out about the text. This passage is somewhat of a sandwich, okay? Very common that the top part is about family, and the bottom part is about family, and then right in the middle, we have this section about the scribes coming and saying Jesus is demon-possessed, and then we have the unpardonable sin. I'm going to go back and talk more about that because I think I need to later, but today I'm just going to stay in the context, and so don't be nervous and wonder why I'm skipping over the middle so quickly. That is intentional, okay? Has anyone ever called you names because you're a Christian? Has anyone ever persecuted you or said something about you because you are a believer? Maybe they called you a freak. Or maybe they have called you a fanatic. Or today, a popular term might be that they would refer to you as a religious bigot. Or maybe someone has simply just said that you are maybe a little too serious about this Jesus stuff. Has anyone ever insulted you about your faith? Well, if they haven't, you might want to ask yourself, well, why haven't they? Because Jesus said that all who choose to live righteous in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But if so, listen to Matthew 5. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. What about Matthew 10:25? It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, which means the prince of demons or lord of the flies or Satan, how much more will they malign or mistreat or slander those who of his household. The audience who the book of Mark is written to are Romans living in a very difficult time, much more difficult than you or I have ever experienced or may ever experience, living in a culture that despises Christians or an emperor who despises Christians, very socially unacceptable to be one of these Christians. This is who this is written to. We know they experience these things, even torture and death. And surely they also experienced from their family some kind of slander or persecution. But it must have been comforting when they read these words in Mark. It must have been comforting for them to know that Jesus also experienced similar things. Maybe you've never read this passage before or even thought about this before, that Jesus himself, from his family, suffered persecution. He experienced conflict and rejection from not only his family, but also his whole hometown, his countrymen, and even betrayed by one of his disciples who betrayed him with a kiss and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus has been through everything that we have been through. Even family. Family. In Mark chapter 3, his family hears that he has returned to his new home, his new mission station, his new place of ministry, which was Capernaum. They heard that he had come down there again, and they go, according to Scripture, they go to seize him, or they go to take him away, possibly back to Nazareth, to rescue him from this crazy mess that he has gotten himself into. The Scripture says that they couldn't even eat because the crowds were so big. Have you ever been in a place where you were so busy that you couldn't even eat? Maybe this week at work you were so busy you didn't even have time to go get lunch. Well, his family goes to rescue him. We know from chapter 2, which we already looked at the last few weeks, that Jesus had severe conflict with the religious leaders of his day. So here we come to this passage where his family calls him crazy. Crazy. So the passage. Then he went home, the crowd gathered again so that they couldn't even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He's out of his mind." Now, in English, we use this phrase quite a bit to say someone's out of their mind or they've lost their mind in a very joking sort of way. I mean, if I was hanging out with a friend and they said, you know, let's go to McDonald's. And I said, well, we went there for breakfast. And they said, well, come on, let's go to McDonald's. I say, oh, you're out of your mind. Let's go somewhere else, right? We might use that phrase in all kinds of ways. Ah, you've lost your mind, you know. Well, that's not what they're saying here. They're not saying in a joking way he's not thinking straight. They literally mean there's something wrong with Jesus mentally. And we'll show you why. In Acts chapter 26, the same phrase is used when Paul appeared before Festus, the governor, and was trying to make a defense before Festus. And Festus said, Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind, or your great learning is driving you mad. Well, the main point is not that they really thought Jesus belonged in a psychiatric unit, or whether they just were saying there's something wrong with him. The main point is that they did not believe in him. And you may find that shocking that Jesus' own family does not believe in him. But I want to show you that that is the case. In Matthew chapter 13, when Jesus had finished these parables, now he's in Nazareth. He's in his hometown, okay? When Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished. And they said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all of these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor." Okay, a prophet's not without honor. It means he will have honor, except in his hometown and in his own household. So many times we read that and we just think in his own hometown. But he says in his own household, he doesn't have honor. John 7:5 tells us that not even his brothers believed in him yet. Or believed in him. We assume that Mary did not agree with her other children, Jesus' half-brothers and half-sisters. We assume that Mary was not in agreement. We could simply assume that because Mary should have known because of the miraculous birth of Jesus. But shall I say Mary was human, and Mary did have a sin nature, and Mary did need redemption as well. So she was at least capable of misunderstanding Jesus' mission. We know that later, though, Jesus' brothers and sisters did believe in him. The book of James in your Bible was written by Jesus' half-brother. The book of James. Galatians 1:19 tells us that James was the half-brother of Jesus. Acts 1:14, after Jesus has already risen from the dead, all of these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. This is right before the Holy Spirit comes down on them. They were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers and sisters. So they're there after the resurrection. But at this point in our story in Mark chapter 3, they don't believe in him yet. Now, it's important for us in Mark chapter 3 to see the structure I told you about, that Jesus' family comes looking for him, and then later Jesus' family arrives, and then in the middle you have this passage about the religious leaders saying that he is possessed. Now, why is that important? Because there is at least some indication that Jesus' family wanted to take him away because he was hurting the family name. Jesus could have been shaming the family. This is an Asian family, so Jesus is causing a lot of problems with the religious teachers of the day, and they could very easily kick his family out of the synagogue. So in chapter 3, verses 22 to 30, in the middle section, the scribes say that Jesus is possessed by the devil. And it's by the devil that he's casting out demons. That is simply there in the middle to show us that this conflict exists between the religious teachers and Jesus. We'll go back to that later to get to the details of what Jesus is talking about there. So, Jesus' family calls him crazy. And his followers call him family. Jesus' family, his blood relatives, at least half brothers and sisters, they call him crazy. But his followers have the privilege of calling him family. Look in verse 31. So they, remember, they came, they were looking for him, they were going to get him, and now they have arrived. And his mother and his brothers came, could be brothers and sisters both, that word adelphoi in Greek can mean brothers and sisters. His brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him. They passed a note or said, hey, can you go tell him we're here? They called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And Jesus says something very strange. He said, who are my mother and my brothers? Who are my mother and my brothers? How would you feel if you were his mother? Or if you said, tell my son I'm here, and your son said, who is my mom? You might feel a little strange about that. But Jesus said, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about, all of those who are sitting inside, not outside, but those who are on the inside, looking about at all of those, he says, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, she is my sister, and she is my mother. Jesus is building a new family. And in many ways, he is redefining what family is in a different way. Does it mean that our family is not our family? Or does it mean that we don't continue to honor our father and mother? No. But Jesus is building a new family, a faith family. We sang the song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus and brothers and sisters with all of those in the family. God is our Father. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus continually says, our Father, our Father, our Father. Isn't it amazing we get to call the Creator of the universe, God Almighty, immortal, invisible, Almighty God, we get to call Father. And Jesus, Brother. And every believer in Jesus, from every tribe, nation, and tongue, throughout all the ages, brother and sister. How can this be? John chapter 1, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Born of God, by the will of God. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. What about Romans? The Spirit himself bears witness. in our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Do you believe that truth today? Do you believe that truth? Think about it. If you believe that, and you vocalize that, and you talk about that, people will say you're crazy. Now, if you just say, I follow the Christian religion, then people may say, oh, that's good. He follows Christianity. I follow Buddhism, or I follow Hinduism, or I follow Islam. Good for you. I'm really glad you follow Christianity. But that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, the God of the universe adopted me into His family. And what we're saying is, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, is heir of all things, and I'm joint heirs with Him. Then people may say, you're nuts, if you believe that. You see the difference between just being a follower of the Christian religion, and that's how you communicate what you do, and communicating that you are in God's family is totally different. Well, you may have experienced that the family of God is closer than your own blood family. Some of you may say that this morning. I for sure, no offense to my family, but I for sure at times in my life have felt more close to the faith family than I did my blood family. There's something about the family of God that makes us closer at times than even our own relatives. Have you not experienced that? So in English, we would say blood is thicker than water, meaning the family relationships are the most strong, stronger than friends. But you may have found that water is thicker than blood. I'm sure we've all been through times when our earthly family has not been the ones we've turned to, but the bonds of our Christian family have been stronger. Brother Jesus, Father God, and then our brothers and sisters in Christ have taken care of us and loved us. I, for one, when I was a 14-year-old boy, when I felt in many ways very disconnected, my father had passed away, my relationship with my brothers and sisters, my brother at that time called me a fanatic and a crazy man. My sister was gone, and my mom was struggling, and the church was there for me and took me in and raised me. Oh, how grateful I am for the body of Christ. Where would you be? Where would you be, Christian, without your brothers and sisters in Christ and without the faith family? Here at Chinese New Year, we'll take the opportunity to ask you some questions when we think about family, not just because it's Chinese New Year. Some of you will be visiting family. Some of you will have family visiting you. Some of you will be traveling to the mainland, as we have talked about, several of us, about having opportunities to share your faith with your family. Some of you today are in need of prayer because your family members don't believe in Jesus. My encouragement to you from this passage would be, number one, they may call you crazy, but if you look at your Bible you will see that you're in very good company. Jesus knows exactly how you feel. I would also encourage you to continue to pray for your family. You know why? Jesus' brothers and sisters eventually believed. Jesus' brothers and sisters, his brother James, was the leader of the early church. So don't give up hope, Christian. Continue to share. Continue to pray. Because even though at this time in your life they may say, you are a religious weirdo, they may someday believe, God willing. And get your kingdom family praying for them as well. Second question I have for some of you, as I'm aware of this so recently, doing some counseling with different people. You know, I really believe some of you are in need of really embracing the faith family more. Because God has designed that you and I, all of us as believers, would have this very powerful resource called the family of God around us, people to lift us up and strengthen us, encourage us, pray for us. But oftentimes we really don't utilize the body of Christ. Maybe because of our pride, we don't want to share our difficulties, or maybe we say things like, well, I'm just not that open, or I'm embarrassed. Listen, all of us have problems. All of us have issues. All of us sin. So we're all in this together. So my encouragement to you is, just to embrace the family of God and not try to live life on your own. You can't do it. Sunday alone is not going to do it for you. You've got to be in the lives of others, in the family of God. And lastly, just a plea to you, by the mercies of God, are you in His family? If you're not, the good news is that today you can be in God's family. Today could be the day of adoption. Today could be the day where you would say, Jesus, I want to turn away from my life and I want to submit to you as the Lord of my life and ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my life and change me and save me. I don't know if you noticed or not, but when we first read, which we'll get to next week, if you notice, in verse 28, that I skipped over, because this is good news. Jesus said, truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. That is good news. That whatever sins you have committed will be forgiven. There's only one sin that will not be forgiven, and that is the rejection of the Holy Spirit to where you will not be saved. So if you're not in God's family, today is the day of salvation. Let's pray together. O God, our Father. May you do the miracle of rebirth in anyone today who does not know you as Father, who has not surrendered to Christ as the boss, as the Lord of their life. Work the miracle of regeneration today. And I pray that you would strengthen each brother and sister with the comfort and the strength of the body of Christ, the family of God. And I pray that today you would empower every one of us that we might be witnesses to our blood family. I pray for every brother or sister who's going to be traveling to the mainland to visit family. Empower them from on high by your Spirit that they might have open doors to declare the mystery of Christ, and that they might have open mouths to have the words to share clearly and boldly, and that their whole household might be saved. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us as we sing the church's one foundation?